Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and today I'm reading from The Life of Martin Luther. It's actually a tract, but the tract itself is a chapter of a book by Diana Klein and Joe Beek about the Reformers. This is chapter 5 about Martin Luther. We did part 1 already. You can find that on this site. And let me go to part 2 now. We're going to start with Johann Tetzel. Should be a familiar name. At last the time came when God called Luther to begin the work of the Reformation. It began when the church sold indulgences in Wittenberg. Indulgences were pieces of paper signed or stamped with the Pope's name. An indulgence declared that the person who bought that piece of paper had all his sins forgiven, even the sins he would commit in the future. He didn't have to do penance for his sins. The paper was enough. When a man named Johann Tetzel came to sell indulgences in Luther's area, Luther spoke out against this practice. Now, Tetzel set up a table in the town square. Some of the monks who were with him set up a red flag that had the Pope's coat of arms on it, and then they seated themselves behind the table. "Come near," shouted Tetzel, "and I will give you indulgences, letters sealed by the Pope. Even the sins you do in the future shall all be forgiven you. Repentance is not necessary. What's more, these letters will not only save the living, but also the dead. The very moment the money clinks against the bottom of the chest, the soul escapes from purgatory and flies up to heaven. Bring your money. Bring your money." A popular rhyme in those days ran, "When the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs." Well, purgatory, the Roman Catholics believed, was a place of punishment where souls were purged or cleansed from sin by fire. They said the soul had to remain in purgatory until it was ready to go to heaven. Of course, Tetzel and the Pope were wrong. It was all a terrible lie. Money and pieces of paper cannot save people from their sins. Besides, the money collected from the sale of indulgences was being used by the Pope and the clergy to build beautiful church buildings and to live in luxury themselves. Luther was determined to stop this corrupt sale of indulgences. He spoke and preached against it. He proved from the Bible that this practice was false. He clearly and boldly declared that man can only be saved by the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of Tetzel's sale of indulgences, Luther wrote 95 theses, or statements, that explained that salvation was only in Christ. They also explained what was wrong in the church. He took this paper and nailed it to the church door in Wittenberg on October 31, 1517. The Lord used the 95 theses to begin the Reformation. The theses were written in Latin, but within weeks people translated them into German and nearly every European language, and so people all over Europe could understand them. People had become more and more dissatisfied with the doctrines and practices of the Roman Catholic Church. Eagerly they read Luther's theses. Many people agreed with Luther. The corruption must be stopped. The truth must be proclaimed. The Reformation had truly begun. At first, Tetzel, the bishops, and the Pope ignored Luther's protest, thinking it would pass. But when they realized that more and more people agreed with Luther, they began to worry. Soon they became angry because people were not buying as many indulgences as before, and that meant less money for them. Sometime after this, Luther received a letter from the Pope. The Pope ordered him to stop preaching against the church and to retract what he had been saying and writing. Luther wrote back immediately that he could not comply with this order. In reply, the Pope demanded that Luther go to Rome to meet with him there. Luther's friends couldn't help but remember what had happened to John Huss. The Pope had also ordered Huss to appear before him, and he had been captured and killed, even though he had been promised the Pope's protection. For this reason, Luther refused to go to Rome. The Pope tried another plan. He wrote to Frederick the Wise, the Elector of Saxony, telling Frederick that he had to send Luther to Rome. But Frederick the Wise, who was Luther's friend, asked the Pope to send representatives to Germany to deal with Luther. Meetings with Cardinal Cajetan in October 1518 and Karl von Militz in January 1519 failed to get Luther to recant. These papal delegates tried to force Luther to take back everything he said against Roman Catholic teaching, but it soon became clear that Luther knew much more about the Bible than they did. He refused to retract anything he had said or written, since it was based on God's word. Realizing these men were terribly angry with him and that he was now in danger, Luther left the city during the night. His friends helped him escape because they feared the Pope and his men would probably try to arrest him and put him in prison. God protected his brave servant because there was still much work for him to do. Johann Eck was a man who defended the Roman Catholic Church. He wrote booklets against Luther, saying that he was a heretic, just like John Huss. Eck and Luther had debates, discussing the differences between their beliefs. At one debate in Leipzig in the summer of 1519, Eck got Luther to say that the Pope was in error. Luther stated that Scripture is the word of God and there are no mistakes in God's word. If there is a disagreement between the Pope and the Bible, we must agree with God's word rather than the Pope's. Eck thought he had won the debate when he got Luther to say that he believed the Pope was not the supreme truth, but many people believed Luther that he was the real winner because he boldly stated the truth. When Eck went back to Rome, he persuaded Pope Leo X to accuse Luther of being a heretic. With Eck's prodding, the Pope threatened to excommunicate Luther. And in the summer of 1520, Luther was ordered to go to Rome and retract everything he had said and written against the doctrines of the church. He had 60 days to do so. The Pope added that if Luther refused, he would be persecuted in this life and in the life to come. This letter from the Pope was called a papal bull. A bull comes from a Latin word meaning seal. So papal bull means a special document or command from the Pope. Although Luther did reply to the Pope, he also made his convictions clear in another way. On December 10, 1520, he and his friends made a fire and burned the papal document. He also burned a book which taught that the Pope was the supreme ruler of the church. This was an obvious insult to the Pope, but Luther refused to listen to people who did not obey God and who wanted him to disobey God too. By this action, he cut himself off from the church. He was excommunicated on January 3, 1521. No longer was he a member of the Roman Catholic Church. Many people in Wittenberg were glad. They agreed with Martin Luther. During 1520, Luther completed three important books in which he stated his views. In the first, Address to the Christian Nobility of the German Nation, he urged the German princes to reform the churches and society, since the Roman Catholic Church was in such a sad state of corruption. In a book called A Prelude Concerning the Babylonian Captivity of the Church, he attacked the church's theology of sacraments. Luther maintained there were only two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, or at most three, with penance possibly qualifying as a third. Now, in Luther's theology, penance consisted of confession to a pastor and receiving his statement of forgiveness on God's behalf. Contrary to the Catholic teaching that the priest actually forgave one's sins, Luther taught that the pastor merely verbally affirmed God's forgiveness taught in the Scriptures. While the Bible teaches believers to confess their sins at times to one another, it does not make it a formal rite always required for the forgiveness of sins. We must always confess our sins to God and seek forgiveness directly from Him because of the merit of Christ's atoning work. The Roman Catholic Church taught that there were seven sacraments. He also denied the doctrine of transubstantiation, the doctrine that Christ's physical body and blood are present in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. It held to this day by the Roman Catholic Church. The third pamphlet, called On the Freedom of a Christian Man, defined Luther's position on justification and good works. In the early 1520s, Luther and his friends continued to preach and teach the gospel. By way of Luther's preaching and writing, the doctrines of the Bible were spreading rapidly. Many people in Germany, Switzerland, France, England, and other countries were leaving the Roman Catholic Church and joining the churches of the Protestants, the Protestants. The Pope was alarmed. He had not been able to stop Luther. God had given Luther powerful friends who stood by him and protected him. The Pope then met with Charles V, the Emperor of Germany. Now, he was the ruler of both the Spanish Empire from 1516 and the Holy Roman Empire from 1519. He was the heir of three of Europe's leading dynasties, the House of Valois-Burgundy, Netherlands, Habsburg, Austria, and the Holy Roman Empire, and Trastámara, that's Spain, concluding for the first time, Castile and Aragon, which included colonies in the Americas and Asia, and a Mediterranean empire extending to southern Italy. Together, the Pope and Charles V decided to call a meeting. This meeting was called the Diet of Worms. Diet means meeting. Worms was the name of the city where the meeting was held. Luther was summoned to appear before this diet. The Pope and the Emperor hoped to do one of two things. Either they would get Luther to recant, or else they would get the authority of this meeting to put him to death. Martin Luther's friends were frightened. Even though Luther had been given a safe conduct, again they couldn't help but think about John Huss. He also had been given the Pope's promise that he would be protected, but he had been burned at the stake. Luther, however, assured them that he was not afraid. He believed the Lord wanted him to go to Worms. Even if there were as many devils in Worms as there are tiles on the rooftops, I must go, he said firmly. The Diet of Worms, held on April 18, 1521, was a grand assembly. Princes, rulers, many important people were present. Emperor Charles V and his brother, the Archduke Ferdinand, were there. Also present was the Archbishop of Treves, who represented the Pope. The Chancellor of the Archbishop asked Luther questions during the trial. Some of Luther's friends were there too. Frederick the Wise, the Elector of Saxony, was one of the most powerful of the German princes. In the great hall in the palace in which the Diet was held, a crowd of thousands of people had gathered as well. When Luther entered, there was great excitement. Everyone wanted to see him. The Archbishop's Chancellor stood up and said in a loud, clear voice that there were two questions Luther had to answer. Pointing to some books on a table, he asked Luther, "Did you write those books?" Luther asked what the titles were. When he recognized the titles, he answered, "Yes, I wrote them." "Will you retract everything in these books that is against the Church of Rome?" That was the next question. Luther asked for some time to think and pray before answering this question. The emperor told him he would have until the next day. When the Diet met again the following day, Luther was asked to give his answer. He made a long speech, first in German and then in Latin. In this speech, he said that if it could be proven that anything in his books was not in agreement with the scriptures, he would at once retract it, but if not, he would take back nothing. When they urged him again to take back his writings, he repeated what he had said before. And then he said, "Unless I am convinced by the testimonies of the scriptures, or by clear arguments that I am in error, for popes and councils have often erred and contradicted themselves, I cannot withdraw. For I am subject to the scriptures I have quoted. My conscience is captive to the word of God. It is unsafe and dangerous to do anything against one's conscience." He concluded with these famous words, "Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Luther's friends rejoiced, but his enemies were angry. They tried to convince the emperor to break his promise of safe conduct, but the emperor was afraid that the people would revolt if he did so. Instead, he ordered Luther to leave the city at once. As soon as Luther left, however, the emperor declared that anyone was allowed to kill him. The Pope also stated that Luther was forbidden to preach, and all his writings must be burned. This declaration was called the Edict of Worms. Well, on the way home from Worms, Luther had an unsettling experience. His friends found out that there was a plan to capture him, so they made plans of their own. As Luther was riding homeward through the forest, several masked, armed men suddenly opened the door of the carriage in which he rode, pulled him out, placed him on a horse, and rode away with him. They rode a long time until they came to the castle of Wartburg. Now, you can imagine, at first Luther didn't realize who his captors were. You can imagine how relieved he was when he discovered they were his friends. Frederick the Wise had arranged his capture and hid him in the castle for almost a year. During this time, Luther wrote a series of pamphlets attacking Roman Catholic practices and began his German translation of the Bible. The translation of the New Testament was finished in the autumn of 1522, but it wasn't until 1542 that Luther, with the help of friends, completed the translation of the entire Bible. He also wrote letters to other friends, but he did not sign his name on them. His friends knew then that Luther was safe, though they had no idea where he was or who had captured him. While Luther was at Wartburg Castle, there was unrest in Wittenberg. Some people who claimed to follow Luther destroyed images, artworks, altars, and crucifixes. This type of destruction is called iconoclasm. While Luther did speak against the wrongs of the Roman Catholic Church, he did not believe in riots and destruction. In March 1522, Luther went back to Wittenberg, though it meant he put himself in danger of being arrested and killed. He believed he was needed in Wittenberg, and he began to preach and teach the people as soon as he arrived there. He told them that such behavior was not according to Scripture, neither was it honoring to God. And thankfully, the people listened to him, and things settled down again. The Roman Catholic Church taught that it was sinful for a priest to marry. When Luther began to study the Bible, he discovered that God had never made such a law. On June 13, 1525, Luther married Catherine von Bora. And 2 years earlier, Catherine, or Katie, as Luther fondly called her, and several other women had escaped from a convent. Luther and his wife loved each other very much, and they were a good help to each other. The Lord blessed them with 6 children. And one of the children, Magdalena, died on September 20, 1542, at the age of 13. Luther and his family were very sad, but they also rejoiced knowing that this child was taken to heaven to be with her Savior forever. Luther loved children, and he wrote a catechism for them as well as many songs. Some of them are still sung today. Do you know the song, Away in a Manger? A Mighty Fortress is Our God? Luther wrote these songs, as well as more than 125 hymns. In 1524, he published the first German hymn book. It contained only 8 hymns, but each time it was printed, more hymns were added. The German people loved to sing these hymns with their families or as they went about their daily activities. In 1529, Philip of Hesse, one of the Protestant princes of Germany, arranged for a meeting with the leading theologians of Switzerland and Germany. He wanted them to reach an agreement about the doctrines of the Lord's Supper. This meeting was held in Marburg. Luther and Philip Melanchthon, who was Luther's greatest helper and an able theologian, represented Luther's teaching that although the bread and wine do not literally change into the body and blood of the Lord Jesus, he is still physically present in, with, and under the bread. Ulrich Zwingli, the leading reformer in Switzerland, who took his friend Johannes Ecolampadius, supported the belief that the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is only a memorial to the death of the Lord Jesus. Sad to say, each side was unwilling to compromise. When they parted ways, Luther refused to shake Zwingli's hand as a brother in Christ. Zwingli was grieved over this. Sometimes God's people have differences of opinion and differences in their beliefs, and often hard feelings result. This is not what God teaches. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." In 1537 and again in 1541, Luther became so ill that his family and friends feared he would die. The Lord restored him to health, however, and enabled him to continue in his work. He lectured, preached, attended conferences, and wrote books and tracts. He and his wife Katie were well known for their hospitality. Even though they themselves often had little money, they welcomed anyone in need. Meals were usually times of lively conversation as visitors talked with Luther about Scripture and its doctrines. Early in 1546, Luther wrote to a friend that he felt old, spent, worn, weary, and cold, and had but one eye to see with. Feeling this way, he left for Eisleben to try to help some people settle a dispute over land, despite the cold winter weather. On his journey, he became sicker and lay suffering in his hometown for several days. His beloved Katie was far away. Only his sons Martin and Paul had accompanied him on his trip. He did have friends surrounding him, however, in his last days. One of his friends, Justus Jonas, asked Luther, "Reverend Father, will you stand by Christ and the doctrine you have preached?" The dying reformer roused himself to firmly answer, "Yes." His last words were, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." He died on February 18, 1546. His body was taken to Wittenberg and buried in the churchyard. This was the same church where Luther had posted his famous 95 Theses for all to read. Luther was 63 years old when he died. He faced many trials and difficulties in his life. And many times his enemies had tried to condemn him to death and silence him, but God enabled Luther to continue the blessed work of the Reformation. Many times he was sad and discouraged. The devil tried to make him fall and give up, but the Lord always helped Luther in his work, so that he persevered until the end. Throughout his life, Luther maintained a very heavy workload, teaching, writing books, organizing the new Protestant church, and providing overall leadership for the German Reformation. Luther never viewed himself as the founder of a new church body, however. In 1522, when his followers first began to use his name to identify themselves, he was not pleased. He wrote, "Let us abolish all party names and call ourselves Christians after him whose teaching we hold. I hold together with the universal church the one universal teaching of Christ, who is our only master." His goal was to reform and restore the church so that it would be true to the biblical teaching of salvation by gracious faith alone. Little could he realize the impact that he would have on Protestantism around the world, and that more biographies, well over 1,000 biographies by now, would be written about his life than any other person in history except the Lord Jesus himself. And it just ends right there, so I have to end right here. God bless you for being here today. I hope this helped you in your understanding. You'll notice it was written in very simple English, and I think God wants us to understand about this man, don't you? And the others. There'll be others we'll talk about other times. And if you'll go to sermonaudio.com/aservant70, if you're not there already, you can find the works of several great men of God as you look through there. There's a long series also on North Korea, and I've updated the links section and the photo section. I hope that you will go there and be blessed by what you see. There's the Quran and Muhammad. There's prophecy studies. There's a Through the Bible course and a whole lot more. The Lord bless you as you go through these things and receive help. I do pray that you will receive help. Get in touch with me every once in a while. I'd like to hear from you. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.